Our guest on this episode of the Circle of the Panda podcast is Bernie May. Bernie is the founder of Beyond Bees. It is a company that trains beekeepers and also sells products that bees produce. Now, Bernie doesn't waste any time in this episode getting to a key point of business, and that is, why did he start it? What you also may not pick up initially is Bernie started this business when he's over the age of 90. Talk about breaking down barriers and perceptions. This is a wonderful podcast about the possibilities that are out there for us when we find what we were called to do, we believe in it, and we pursue it. If you have any questions, you can find Bernie at beyondbees.com, and you can find me at circleofthepanda.com. Mr. May, thank you so much for being on this podcast episode with me.
It's a joy to be with you, Jay.
Oh, we have had the opportunity to meet face-to-face and exchange some emails. And anybody listening or viewing this, you need to find the opportunity to engage with Mr. May. And we were just talking about Mr. or Bernie. Some people call him Mr. Bernie or Bernie. I grew up in the South, and if I didn't say Mr. or Mrs., then I might get backhanded by my mom. So I have to get used to calling you Mr. Bernie or Bernie. But anybody listening or viewing this, you get an opportunity to engage with Mr. May and Beyond Bees, you should. It was a very special treat for me. So thank you for being on here. So you started a business, and I normally don't get right to the age thing, but only I'm going to reason say this because you are at an age where most people do not start businesses. And it's amazing. So what gave you the idea to start Beyond Bees, and why now?
Yeah, I think I'm not as smart as most people, but you don't start a business when you're in your 90s, but I did. And it's because, I guess it goes back, I feel like I've been very favored in life. If you asked me to describe my whole life with one word, it would be favored. And if they gave me two words, it would be undeservedly favored. Mm, mm. But God has favored me. And I've lived a long life and been very blessed and done a lot of things. And early in life, your goal is always to get more. You got to get an education. You got to get a girlfriend when you're a teenager. Then you got to get a wife. And then you got to get a job. And then you got to get a house. And then you got to get children. And then you got to get a bigger house. And then you got to get a better job. And it's more, more, more. You're trying to accumulate more. You're trying to accomplish more. It's more, more, more. When you get to, my perspective on life has changed. I learned from Jesus, there's more joy in giving than getting. And all of a sudden, as I got older, my passion was not to get more, but to give more. And I just looked for opportunities to give. When I got to be 90, I asked God, what do you want me to do between 90 and 100 if I live that long? Nobody knows how long they'll live, but I've been blessed with good health and I don't need any more. And so I find more joy in giving. And I start to look around and I realize the world has a problem, that bees are dying. And I thought, if bees die, we're all in trouble. Mm-hmm. The whole food chain will collapse. It's amazing. And bees are an amazing little creation. They're absolutely amazing. They're an insect, but they know how to get it done. They're very, very smart, and they're very productive. Bees are the only living thing that feeds itself. It makes honey for itself, and it stores honey for itself. But fortunately, there's enough. We can take some and leave enough for them. But then their big contribution is pollinization. They pollinate plants. Plants, you won't have flowers if you don't have bees. There's about a third of what we eat that will become extinct, like apples will become no more if the bees die. And bees were never sick till 20 some years ago. And then they started to die. And 40% of the world's bee population is dying every year. And so
what's causing it?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. First of all, we've chopped down the trees and put asphalt there. There's less vegetation than there was. And then we've decided to use pesticides. We decided we don't like mosquitoes, and so we spray them, and anything that kills a mosquito kills a bee. And they take the pesticides back to the hive, and then the whole hive dies. And then fertilizers, chemicals in the ground, in the soil. Now that's a problem. And then they started getting viruses. And there's a varroa mite that come along on bees. And there's things that are damaging bees that they never had to deal with. It's like COVID. We never heard of COVID before. But all of a sudden, it's a threat to our being. Well, bees have varroa mites. And anyway, we need to help them. Bees never needed any help. They're very self-sufficient. But we need the bees, and the bees need us. And I decided, why don't I just finish my time here by helping the bees? And so I.
How did you do that? You could have started a business in so many different ways to give back, and you selected bees. Or did you have a history in beekeeping?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. If you'd asked me 10 or 15 years ago about bees, just kill them because it might sting me. And I had no respect for the bees. I had no idea how important they were or how vital they are to our whole creation. And they're part of God's creation. And I think, and so I just decided, you know, we got people saving the whales. We got people really interested in dogs. I mean, if somebody said all the dogs are dying in the world, there'd be a lot of activity. A lot of people say, no, we can't let that happen. And my dogs mean a lot to me. And they do. You know, animals, we're created to be part of, to live with nature. We need nature, and nature needs us. And I don't think we've figured out how to take care of nature. Like they need us. And so I just decided this is this be a good thing to do. So I got a couple of beehives, and they died. You're not very good at it at first. And then I got some more, and then I learned more. And now I started with two beehives, and I started with 10 beehives. And they all died the first year. And then I started with two, and one of them died. I ended with one. Well, then I got 20, and at the end of the year, I had 30. And now I have 200.
200.
And I have, and so we're kind of learning how to do it. And I got some younger, and I'm teaching young people how to do it, because at my age, I'm really, I don't have the strength to do. It's hard work, lifting beehives and so forth and so on. But I have young people who are very interested in the environment, and I'm we're learning, and we're helping, and they're really doing well. And it's just fun. And the more I watch the bees, the more fascinating they are. They're just incredible little creatures.
You
And
sell
so,
you, you go you sell some products online on your website, which will be in the show links here. And you also are one of your main business, I was going to say concepts or channel, because you're already going down the path, is you train beekeepers.
I'm helping young people. I'm finding young people, high school and college age, they're very, very interested in the environment, in the ecosystem. And they have a concern that my generation didn't have for taking care of what, you know, the environment. And I think that's very good. And I'm encouraging them and teaching them, and we're learning a lot. There's a lot of research going on right now in bees and the environment, all that. Just, the whole world has become aware that nature is important. I think God created people, he created nature, he created them. They need each other. And so that's, it's just fun. And it's the young people. At 92 years old, I don't have the strength or the endurance like they do, because keeping bees is hard work. It's not, actually the bees do all the work, but taking care of them is hard work. They need help, and they'll become extinct if we don't learn how to live with them and help them be, they're very independent, bees are, but they're fascinating. And the more you learn about them, I learn stuff all the time, and wow, that is amazing.
What are some things, in what ways? I don't know very many things about, I don't know much about bees, and I know a lot of listeners don't either. But what kind of things make them so special?
They work together as a colony, and everybody has a job. And in their whole life, you start out with one job, and you get a different job and another job, and you become a short carrier, then a long carrier. And when one group is behind, the other group helps them. And they have to go out and get pollen, nectar, and water. And they assign some to go out to get the pollen, some to get the... If they get a lot of nectar, a lot of pollen, but not much water, the queen sends out a signal, and everybody goes out and gets water now until they get their water supply going. And so they work together in an amazing way, and help each other, and take commands. They're just fascinating how they do it. And one bee will go out and find out where there's good pollen, come back and let them know, and do a little dance and tell them where, and the other bees will fly 2 miles out and go to that very plant without the lead. Now figure that one out.
Well, I can't even. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it is absolutely amazing. And
they don't die in the hive. I heard somebody say they don't die in the hive either.
No, when they'll carry, when a bee gets so she can't, and by the way, the female bees, the worker bees, they do all the work. And when she gets so she can't carry pollen back, and she just gets old and not, they will go out into the forest and die, because they don't want to die in the hive and have somebody have to clean them out. And it's all for the cause of the hive and the protection of the hive and the protection of the queen. And it's amazing to watch them work together. And the queen, it's very, very, very interesting as you get into it. So that's why I do it, is because I just enjoy doing it. And it's my way. You know, I think I've gotten a lot in my life. I've been very blessed. And at this stage, it's time just to give back. And this is my small way of giving back. It's not big, but I'm putting in a pollinator park here, right next door to where I live. And it's going to be for the bees. And we're going to have healthy bees. We already, about half of the bees in the, half of the hives in the United States, they told me, died last year. In South Carolina, 60% of the hives died. Of our hives, less than 10% died. And so I think it's because we care for them, and when they get sick, we got medicine for them now, that kind of thing. And so that's what I'm doing, and I find a lot of joy in it, and I'll just keep doing it as long as God gives me strength.
Yeah, you took me on a tour of your future location. It's just of your current location, but you shared your vision. So you took me on a golf cart, and we went up top of a hill, and you were telling me about your faith journey. We could do so many different topics of discussions on yours. So I'm going to ask you a couple about those, but see, so you took me on top of the hill in the golf cart, and you were just speaking about the bees and your faith journey. And I got one of those nice breeze, where you're going like this nice breeze just blowing across my face. Tell us your vision for what you are going to put on that piece of property?
Well, it's going to be it's a vacant field right next to where we live. You saw that. And they're not going to let them build buildings on it. And so I asked the owners if we could use it to build a park for the bees. And it's going to be what the bees like. The bees live off of pollen and nectar and so forth. So we're going to plant trees, some that bloom, flowers that bloom in the early spring, some in the midsummer, some in the late summer. And everything out there is going to be plants and trees and flowers that the bees like. And so the bees are the ones who are going to determine what's planted there. But the first thing, we're going to plant about 50 trees around the outside of the park. And that means that the bees get more energy, more stuff from trees than they do from flowers. And anyway, it's what the bees like. I planted some crimson clover the last year. Oh, they love that. And then our honey is really good honey. So anyway, and then I'm going to have walking ways or golf carts so I can take some of the elderly people that I live with here to get them outside. And we're going to have little nature tours in a golf cart. One of the problems as you get older is your mobility gets less. You can't walk. Most tours are walking tours. So these people don't get to get out in nature. So these are going to be nature tours. We got at woods there. We're going to cut a trail through the woods. And I'll put people in my golf cart and we'll go out there and we'll just experience. There's something about being in nature that is good for the soul.
Sure is. It really is.
It's healthy. It's just, the guy just made it that way. And so it's relaxing. It takes stress away. I just enjoy going out. I take a folding chair. I go out there and sit in the woods and read. And for me, it's just good for your soul. So I just want people to be able to experience nature and God through nature. Because, you know, when I watch stuff grow and I see how it all works, to me, it's just, I just say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And I just enjoy it. And I just want other people to be able to enjoy it.
I had a little notebook with me when I was up there.
Yeah.
And you were talking with us, and I was just taking all kinds of notes as you were speaking. And there's one I want to mention, because I'm going to do a separate podcast on this solo. And I want to give credit where credit's due, because it changed my perspective on prayer. Okay. You know, a lot of people are going through some tough times, a lot of fear, a lot of challenges these days, a lot of struggles. And you said this, you said, you know what, when I have a big problem or a big situation in front of me, you said, I say, God, I'm your servant. God, it is your problem. You're going to have to handle this for me. And I misstated it well, but I've been doing that. And I've been telling people that. And I want to tell the source. When you run up against a difficult situation and you don't know what to do, you say, Lord, I'm your servant. This is your problem. You're going to have to show me what to do. And you're going to have to help me with this. I learned that from you. Did I misstate anything in it? Did I say it well, Mr. May? When you have a big problem, you just say, God, I'm your servant and it's yours to take care of for me. Right?
Yeah. He's the creator. He's a creator God. It says in Colossians that he created this work by his son and for his son. He's the owner. This is our Father's world. So he's the owner. And he invites me. He's my owner. He created me. And I look back, and you might know my story, but my mother was 13 years old when I was born. She was in the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And She didn't want to have a baby and she wanted to get an abortion. And my grandmother said, "No way. That child is a gift from God." And I was born in the same bed my mother was 13 years earlier. My father was in the 10th grade. He dropped out of school, married my mother, and they were, and I was about 3 years old when they found Jesus, and it changed their life. They became great parents. I had wonderful parents. So I look back on my life and I feel like Jeremiah, who said, "God, you saw me before I was born." And I just think, had it not been for my grandmother, I wouldn't have made it. But my grandmother said, "No, children are a gift from God, even now they're not created, maybe with the best plan." But so I just feel God created, allowed me to be born. And I think everybody's born with a purpose. We're all special. Everybody's unique. No two people are alike. Think about that. That's creation. That's creative. And so I think we're all with different gifts. Some are singers, some are this, some are science. We all got different gifts. And we all need to kind of work together to make this world a better place. So I was very favored. My parents never finished high school. I finished college and went to graduate school and aeronautical institute. And I had a good education. And I met a lovely young lady and a wonderful wife. But I decided to go serve, be a bush pilot. And so, and I did all that. And anyway, I've been very favored in life, all through life.
You know,
And,
could you keep telling us your story about how you, well, just your story and a bush pilot and all that you've seen and accomplished, and keep telling us some of your story if you're comfortable doing that.
well, it's a long story when you're 92. But when I was 21, I grew up in a church and all that good stuff, but it was never very personal to me. And I got into college and I had goals of being successful. I had a very good job. And then all of a sudden I started reading the Bible. I got married and we're both reading the Bible. And I had to decide, what Jesus was asking was he wanted people to follow him. I wasn't really a follower of Jesus. I was just a pretty good Christian. But and he talked about giving rather than getting. I was into the getting business. And I decided, I'm going to follow Jesus. I don't know what that means. I don't know how you do it. But both my wife and I made that decision. We said, yeah. So we both have very, very good jobs. I left the job back, this is 1954. I left the job paying $20 a day to take a job that paid $3 a day. Okay, being a bush pilot, flying missionaries in South America. And my friends said, "You're out of your gourd. You're crazy. You're going to, And I said, "No, I think Jesus, I think what he said is true. I'm going to see what it means to do that." So I just tried to make him my teacher. And he said, "You have a heavenly father. I had a wonderful earthly father." And he said, "But I have a heavenly father. He created me. And he's the owner. He owns this world. He made this. I just need to learn how to trust him. And that he knows what he's doing." So when I start something like this, and I do it because I think it's what I wanted, he wants me to do, when it's not working out, I say, "You got a problem." And people ask me, I'm not a very wealthy man, but they say, "Well, how do you do this?" I say, "I have a very rich father." And so I just go to the father. And this pollinator part, I don't know how this is going to happen, but it's going to happen. I think God's going to make it happen. And so I'm just doing what I can do. And then I find that amazing things happen. And it's his. And so if your father's in control, he's all-knowing, he's very wise, he's not broke, so I don't have to worry. I just have to, back to yourself, yeah. If If you had your 4-year-old who was worried about whether they were going to get food or not, you wouldn't want that. You say, "Don't worry," even though you know you're not too sure. But your children, they're not worried, and because they trust their father, and you'll do everything you can for your children.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I don't know, sometimes I don't know why God loves me like he does, but he does. It's not because I deserve it or I've earned it, but that's true of love. Love. If you ask me what the most important word in our language, it would be love for me. I mean, you could argue about what's the most important word, but love is a very, very important word. And love deals with problems. It overcomes problems. And so God's love for me and my love for others is, I just think, a joy in life. I've come to say, and there really is, it doesn't make sense a lot because it's not the way we're taught to think. You don't get by giving. That doesn't make sense. But when you do it, you realize it makes all the sense in the world. You become richer by giving. And by helping others, you help yourself. By losing your life, you gain it. Now, these are very contrary ideas. And so I just believe Jesus is everything he said he was. And he said, "I want to be your teacher." And I say, "Okay, I'm signed up." I'm not a very good student sometimes, don't trust me. But the longer I trust him, the more confidence I have. I've had a lot of interesting jobs, and I've been to a lot of, I've actually lived and worked for sure in 64 countries. So I've seen the world. I know what people think and believe, and there's a lot of difference in the world. It's been a, I've been very blessed in life, but I've never been any more content or any more happier than doing what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. And I just wake up every day and say, "Oh, what's going to happen today?" It's fun.
That's
And the
big
world's in
adventure.
mess. Yeah, and
What's
the
that?
world's in mess. It really is. And bees are in trouble. Bees were never in trouble before. They're in big time trouble. And I'll guarantee you, if the bees die, there'll be no apples, there'll be no watermelons, there'll be no fruit, there'll be half of the vegetables you have, and the whole food chain will collapse. So anyway, I think working on this problem is fun. Not always easy, but it's fun.
I'm excited to see where it's going to go. I
Yeah.
know it's going to go great places. I'm excited to see it. Hey, I want to ask you to, I want to end on this question. And I'm lucky, because I started this way. I'm lucky I'm going to get to have more conversations with you. Fortunately, I'm going to be persistent. You've probably noticed that. Will you speak
Yeah.
to me? Will you talk to me? Will you meet
Yeah,
with me?
yeah.
So I ask you this question. I'm going to be recording with some people that are college age. There's one that's in a marketing fraternity, because I've noticed that my son's that age, and I notice there's a lot of curiosity. It's like this, they're hungry. You can sense it. I just sense more than ever. They're hungry, they're eager. They're starting to have revivals in Bojangles parking lots. You're starting to see it. What advice would you give to somebody that's in that age, that's a college age? What advice would you give them?
Just learn to be a good follower of Jesus. and learn to
Amen.
do it the Jesus way. I think that we tend to do it our way or the world's way and not the Jesus way. There's a spiritual battle going on between truth and lies. And there's more lies than there's truth coming at us. And don't, my own sense is learn to trust, learn what it means to live by faith. The problem is we all have faith. Everybody, faith is what we believe. But we put our trust in governments. We put our trust in we put our trust in churches. That doesn't work out. And I found in young people today, there's nobody they can trust. You can't trust the police. When I grew up, you trusted the police. When I grew up, you trusted the government. When I grew up, you trusted education. When I grew up, you trusted the medical experts. Okay? When I grew up, you actually trusted the church. But every one of those has proven flawed. And so they come up. When I grew up, you trusted your parents. The children that I'm dealing with, the environment, they're being taught in school. You can't trust your parents. They're the ones that made all this mess. And so they come, they're very interested in what we're doing because their parents weren't good at this. So if you can't trust your parents, you can't trust the legal system. You know, and all of a sudden, who can you trust? Well, I found you can trust Jesus.
Every time, every single time. I wish I knew that a lot sooner in life. And I still struggle with that sometimes.
Yeah.
And I still trust. Will you just trust me? Can you not just?
So I just want to be a person trustworthy, but we're all flawed. That's the problem. And so it's pretty easy to pick out the flaws in people, but some of us trust more than others. And some of us have a little bit more faith than others. I think our faith has to grow. You don't get it in one experience. You don't go to a meeting and all of a sudden now I have all the answers. It's a continuous trusting day by day in our Creator, our Father, our Heavenly Father. He's the only one you can trust.
Yes, sir. Mr. May, it seems to me that this is a good time to say goodbye to everybody because you started in that place because it was about serving and listening to what he's telling you to do.
Yeah.
And you ended in the same place. It's about trust and following Jesus. And
let me leave you with one more word of advice. I don't know how long it takes to learn all that God wants to teach us how to do, but it's more than 92 years. I feel sometimes I'm still at the bottom of the learning curve.
Here he brings in humility, which is key.
But the more I know about God and the more I experience him, the more mystery there is, the more I don't know, the more awesome God is. It's beyond my ability to understand all God is. He's awesome. He's God.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. May.
Okay.
Hang on for me because I'm going to get all the time I can with you. So thank you so much for recording with me. Thanks.
Yeah.
This concludes another episode of the Circle of the Panda podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Bernie May. I hope we have him on here as a follow-up guest have another conversation, because you can tell there's so many different things that he has to share that we can learn from. So it's wisdom. But for now, you can find him at beyondbees.com, and you can find me at circleofthepanda.com. I wish you all the best and peace to you.